This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is my experience, when you need to control a crowd, you get the Hell's Angels out there. Not the police that you are paying taxpayer money to watch one street where people are looking at the Christmas decorations, and apparently they can't behave themselves while they're looking at the Christmas decorations. It is my experience, which somebody has commented to us, somebody called in and said that there are several people fighting back against this. Mitch, you have a report. Go ahead.
There is the Facebook page, apparently, for the I assume it's the community of Fairview Park, Ohio, which is what I have pulled in front of me, that has a bunch of livid responses to this ban, potentially.
And what did I tell you to do, Mitch?
So you told me to go join the group because it is an exclusive thing here. There are three questions I had to answer in order to get into this group, and the result is pending as of now.
What was the first question?
Do you live, work, or are from Fairview Park? Please give detail. Yes or no answers will be declined.
How did you answer?
I said something along the lines of, like, I do not live in the Fairview Park area.
Why would you say that?
But I frequent the area.
I frequent it. Did you write I frequent it? By the way, previous audio.
I like to show up and urinate on lawns.
Previous audio courtesy of WKYC and Cater K, a report by him.
The second question.
I frequent the area when I'm looking for a good time.
The second question saying, if you are not from, currently live or work in Fairview Park, what are your reasons for joining this group? Please be specific.
And then you said to trash it on the radio because we're not happy about the new restrictions. Not a good answer.
That's about right, yeah.
Not a good answer.
Oh, and try to get into this Facebook page.
The last question was the hardest one.
Which was what?
Do you agree to read the featured section of the announcements that hosts all of rules, including the rules for business postings? Please tell me one of the rules.
What?
Yeah. I just wrote yes and then hit submit.
Oh, that's done.
Yeah, you're out.
That's done.
You've done nothing to help us infiltrate the community.
I'm joining.
How often do the people who are in charge of it check it? I need to get these answers so what these people have posted by 10 o'clock. So whoever's in charge, if you know anybody in charge, tell me to get on the ball here and let one of us in so we can go ahead and see these responses. We won't name names. We just want to read them. There's people who are very upset.
18,000 total members to this group.
18 grand.
Yep.
How many people are in Fairview Park? You know, just watch the. Just saying, people can't be going to the bathroom in people's yards. Let's see, over this
it says 16,785 in Fairview Park.
Kenny, have you
thanks
ever?
Thanks for looking that up for me.
Have you ever gone in your yard?
Yeah.
So who cares if about, somebody else does?
It's my yard.
It's my yard. And it's not.
What was it? The front yard.
And it's your urine.
Yes.
The difference.
It's my yard and it's my urine. I can do what I want in my yard with my urine. Thank you very much. Plus, I face out back. I face woods, swamp.
Yeah, that you shouldn't be doing that.
Like if I lived in like a place called like Hunter's Green, Lima's Landing. If I lived in Lima's Landing and there was a house right behind me, no, I can't do that there. Now can I? But in Streetsboro, Ohio, it's my yard. It's my urine. I can do as I please, within reason. There you go. Do the Browns have talent? Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 8:20. The Browns have talent. I can't believe how many people agree with you, and I just think they're mad at the Browns. I just think you guys are mad. You guys are allowed to be mad. They're 2-7. They might be firing people. You're allowed to be very, very mad if you want to.
Go right on ahead.
Well,
tell me they
I
don't have
back,
talent. I disagree with you. I think they're a product of terrible quarterback play.
And they are, yes.
And mismanagement with the coaching staff.
And that does bring the talent level down. You're 100% right there. I went back and listened to the audio yesterday that was posted on the X account. Is 93 The Fan still on X? Are we staying on X? Or are we...
All right, Jamie Lee Curtis, why don't
you
relax?
I'm just making sure.
Well, as long as Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store... has us on there.
I just want to make sure.
Well,
I'm
all
still
the reactions right now hate me for saying that I agree with the mayor of Fairview Park. So thank you guys very much. All your hate is brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Go ahead.
So I do live in Fairview
Park. I went back and let us know when you get through. I went back and listened to the audio, and I think a little bit of it was heat of the moment exaggeration. Yes, I do think they obviously have talent. My point yesterday was I think we have said for four straight years that we've got not only some of the most talent in the NFL, but each and every year, really it's five straight years, we have said we've got more talent than the year before. And I remember before the season saying, hey, hold on. I do not think we have more talent than some of the previous years now. And I brought up why. People would bring up Jerry Jeudy. And I said, look, all these guys are older, and your offensive line is older. Their running back room, because of Chubb's injury, to me, has to be one of the worst in the NFL. Defensively, we've tried to piecemeal, you know, year by year the defensive line, although I do think we had, you know, a solid, very solid defensive line going into the season. Okay. I did not expect Martin Emerson to fall off a cliff and become one of the worst statistical corners in the league, according to PFF. I did not expect that, obviously. DeJuan Jones also, by the way, I didn't know what to do with DeJuan Jones because he looked so great in a few games last year and then he got injured. So I was like, I don't know, but guy that size, that is alarming this early in his career to be dealing with those kind of injuries.
Yeah.
And then again, he got injured this year, so we'll see. He's still playing, obviously, so we'll be able to evaluate. But I felt like we had more talented teams over the last few years than we did this year. And now, at 2-7, like, we're not out-talenting anybody. Like, what teams have we looked more talented than that we played this year? What, Jacksonville? Is that it? I don't know. I mean, when we played Washington, I'm like, Washington looks like they have more talent than us.
Let me tell you who we have more talent than.
The Raiders.
The Raiders, the Giants,
the Raiders were making more. They had more playmakers than we had.
The Raiders, the Giants, the Jaguars. I mean, what do you want to say about the Cowboys? They're a mess. Are we more talented than the Cowboys? Probably not. Are we more talented than the Chargers?
Real quick.
A lot of people thought we were in the season more talented than the Chargers. I just think, listen, it's a terrible culture and it's a terrible quarterback play.
You brought up an example. The Cowboys
sucks.
The Cowboys are kind of the same as us. They've got names that you know and guys like Micah Parsons that are incredible, although he's not having a great year.
Oh, he's clucking to get out of there.
But he's trying to get out.
He's been talking.
But they've got guys you know, but then after that, I think it falls off a cliff. And I think that's part of the issue with the Browns. We don't have any depth. And so any injuries whatsoever totally exposed, you know, the lack of drafting that this team has struggled with over the last four or 5 years.
That's when I get to the mismanagement. This is why I got so really angry at Nick last week. And I rarely do. Usually it's just a work. It's not a shoot. I actually got shooting mad at Nick over it because he said I didn't care about the Bill Callahan departure and said I didn't think it was a big deal. No, quite the contrary. I thought it was a big deal, but I also understand that that assistant coaches do move on in a lot of cases. It's who you replace them with. And I'm not impressed by who they've replaced him with. And because of this Ken Dorsey of, we don't know what he does. Well, now we know he calls plays, but we don't really know the offensive philosophy because the heads of that snake got cut off because your quarterback has an Achilles injury that ended the season and probably will never play for the Browns again. That in that case, I don't know if it's just mismanagement or if it's quarterback play. I think it's a mix of both. I think it's a lot of bad quarterback play. I think it's a lot of mismanagement by the coaching staff. I think that you have the blind leading the blind in this case. Because you can't win consistently in the NFL without good quarterback play. You could talk about the Chargers. The Chargers don't have a whole lot of talent on their team. They still have Justin Herbert, who can certainly get the job done. And you saw in that game against us, this is where talent is, where he's like, hey, I'm a great quarterback. I'm 6'6". I'm going to get the ball to people I need to get the ball to, and we're going to get out of here with a win. And that's why they sacked him six times in the first half, and you're still down by 17 points. We do not have that. So So that's why I defend some of this where I go, you're going to need a good quarterback or you're not going to be able to get over it. Joe Flacco, whether people want to admit it or not, yeah, he had some interceptions. He also played his ass off in the second half of the season last year and was vintage Joe Flacco, who was an MVP candidate. We argued whether or not he was elite and won a Super Bowl. So when you have good quarterback play, you win games in the NFL. This is not a hard scenario. So it's not like a brand new rookie quarterback with a brand new suck-ass team where it's like, hey, man, he's a rookie. He's going to take it on the chin. This team's not that talented yet. They got to put it together. No. What game did they have good quarterback play in? They had good quarterback play against the Baltimore Ravens. And they won that game, and Jameis threw for 339. Almost threw a couple of interceptions, clearly. Yes, I know that. But overall, it was a good day for Jameis, and they won that football game. This is not a hard science to figure out, guys. There is talent on the football team. But because we're mad because they're 2-7, I have to sit here and fight just tearing it all down to the studs and starting all over again like in 2016. That is not the answer. How many more years do we have to go from the 2016 lesson to show you that that's not the answer? To grind it out for 8 years? 8 years? When I've seen teams like Washington trade away some players, but keep some of their core players, and they're back in business with a good quarterback and a good coaching staff. Look at what Dan Quinn and that coaching staff has done. Cliff Kingsbury, I would never make him a head coach. I wouldn't make him a head coach at St. Ignatius, but he's a good offensive play caller. All right, I might make him the head coach at St. Ignatius, but I ain't going to make him the head coach of the NFL ever again.
Are you going to say, going into next season, I know there will be free agency where every team's going to have more money than us under the cap in free agency next year. With free agency and whatever the draft, the Browns do have more draft picks this year. Are you going to say what we've said the last 5 years, which is Browns have more talent than last year and Browns might have some of the most talent in the league? Are you going to say that going into next year?
No, I can't. Because if I sit there and say because the Browns are probably going to finish somewhere in the neighborhood of 4-13. And if I try to tell people that the Browns have some of the most talent in the NFL, I will get laughed out of the building. I can't do that because I don't know what they're going to do. Going into this offseason, I might say, hey, they still have this guy and that guy. But I don't know what they're going to do this offseason. And there's guys that are who are veterans on this team that might be playing in their final year with this team. Joel Bitonio is in year 11. You know, Wyatt Teller, he always gets brought up, and I love Wyatt, but he always gets brought up. And when you are 2-7, it leads to that examination. But because you're so behind in cap, and Jack Duffin, a man who we respect, we know that he brings up the spending and how it's not that big of a deal. But if you are seen as being a team that's behind on all this stuff, I just think it's much harder than what people are willing to admit when they say, well, just cut them all, get some picks, and let's start this thing all over again. Why? Well, because you're mad they're 2-7. Yeah, I'm not happy that they're 2-7. But just getting rid of all these players and being mad at them isn't the reason to do it. It isn't the reason to do a complete teardown and rebuild. Anyway, the Browns play the New Orleans Saints coming up on Sunday. That the afternoon show has said is a must-win or Kevin Stefanski has committed a fireable offense. They must beat the New Orleans Saints or Kevin Stefanski, he's as good as gone, according to the afternoon boys. Let's go to Mary Kay Cabot. She's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, is this Kevin Stefanski's personal Super Bowl on Sunday? It is in New Orleans. They've hosted a lot of them.
No, I absolutely don't think so. Remember, just over the bye week, Andrew Berry told us absolutely how Kevin is an amazing coach and the coach of the future of this football team. So I really highly doubt that puts him on the hot seat by the next week. I don't see it that way. I would be shocked if anything like that happened. And furthermore, I really don't see them making those monumental moves during the season.
Well, then how big is the rest of the season? I see a lot of Browns fans grappling with how much they need to either win or lose for draft positioning. But what does Jimmy Haslam think?
Well, nobody knows what Jimmy Haslam thinks right now. He's playing it close to the vest. We don't know exactly who he's consulting with or talking to. I think he's trying to let this season play out. And, of course, when you look at it, and if you look at it through the prism of the Deshaun Watson situation didn't work out, then I think you have to take all of that into account. And if you're looking at it as though this organizational decision to acquire Deshaun Watson hasn't worked out the way that any of you thought it would, then I think it's a little difficult to go firing people over that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. So do you think that there is any thoughts, because if a lot of fans are going, well, they go right to Mike Vrabel. Do you think that there's any thought that he would transition to Mike Vrabel at the end of the year?
You know, once again, we don't really know exactly what Jimmy's thinking right now. It seemed to me, just in trying to take the vibe check from the Andrew Berry presser, that Jimmy isn't thinking about blowing the whole thing up. I don't know if that will change. I don't know if that's true at this point. I think anything that you're hearing out there on, you know, shows or from prognosticators or whatever, I just don't think anybody has a handle on what Jimmy is thinking about this right now. But what we do know is that he likes alignment in this organization. He feels he has it. If they look at this as there were so many injuries, extenuating circumstances this year, then these guys will have a chance to continue what he felt they could do when he gave them an extension at the beginning of the season.
Do the Browns have talent?
They do have talent, and that's why I think they can get back on the winning track next year if they figure out their quarterback situation. You have enough talent at almost every single position to build on that. I think if you added five, maybe six key pieces to this team, including a good quarterback, a good starting quarterback, then I think you can be right back in the thick of it and be contending. I don't think it requires any kind of a tear down or a massive rebuild.
Does that QB come out of the draft, or does it become a veteran from somewhere else?
I would probably guess a veteran from somewhere else right now, just because I keep hearing that the quarterbacks in the draft, which I haven't had a chance to really study them a lot myself yet, but it's just not supposed to be that kind of draft. It doesn't.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mean that they won't draft one, because in my mind, if you have a high first-round pick, I'd rather that you take a chance on a quarterback than pretty much almost any other position unless you know you have a slam dunk something else there. If you've got a Justin Jefferson or something like that, then you're going to go ahead and do that. But short of that, take a chance on a quarterback that you think could be successful, because you're probably not going to be that high up again, or you don't want to be that high up again in future years. So it's tough to have a high draft pick, or presumably a high draft pick, in a non-good quarterback class. They're going to have to be really, really creative and look around elsewhere too.
Mary Kay Cabot with us. Now that Kevin Stefanski stepped in to explain what Jed Wills really meant with his business decision comments, is that controversy over? Do you think the fans will now relax a little bit on the criticism?
Well, I don't know that the fans will ever really relax on the criticism of Jed. Jed has been a lightning rod for criticism since his rookie season, since he was going out there playing hurt on that ankle. He's never really recovered from the heat that he's taken from that year, and then you just keep spinning that forward. So I called him the other day in a story, the most vilified Brown after Deshaun Watson. So he's got a tough PR campaign ahead of him. But it might not matter, because it just doesn't seem like he's going to be around all that long here. Now, there is a world, and I wrote this in a column the other day, there is a world in which he does come back here as perhaps maybe your third tackle. Or maybe you look at DeJuan Jones for the next eight games and you think, geez, maybe he is better off on the right side. I think that's why it's important to get this evaluation over the last eight games. Can he handle the demanding left tackle spot? If not, maybe you give Jed another look. But his remarks, his comments, they were not deal breakers. Jed has never been a player that has really spoken out, ruffled feathers. He's been a good soldier. He's taken coaching well. He's taken hard coaching well from Bill Callahan. And I don't think that this has to mean the end for him.
So he might be back next year?
It's possible. It is. Yeah. It's definitely possible. As again, it would have to be a situation where at the right price, you're bringing him back as perhaps a swing tackle. That's why he's getting some work right now on both the left side and the right side. When you find a tackle who can go out there and play good football for you, maybe not amazing football for you, but good football at the right price, you don't want to necessarily let those guys walk out of the door easily because they are kind of hard to come by.
Is that a failure by Andrew Berry, considering he was the number 10 overall pick and he would be doing what essentially James Hudson does for them?
It's certainly not ideal. It's not what you expect from your number 10 overall pick, not at all. Especially when you look at Tristan Wirfs at number 13 for the Bucs and what he's been able to accomplish. He's playing on the left side now. He's an excellent left tackle. He's rated number one in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. He has a contract that now pays him $28 million a year. So what I would have to say that you would have to count that as a fail.
All right, Mary Kay, I know you got a chance to dig a little deeper by having a conversation with Jordan Hicks over the last few days and his thoughts about JOK. What is the latest on JOK?
Well, that type of information has been hard to come by. I've tried, you know, you have to be respectful, obviously, of a person's privacy as well. But in the, you know, in the interim, you also try to find out what you can about what's going on with a person. And everyone's playing it very, very close to the vest. And part of it is that I don't think they really know yet what the future holds. They have to let the neck injury heal before you can determine when or if he's coming back to football. But I thought that Jordan Hicks' comments were pretty sobering yesterday, and they really gave me pause when I had to stop and think about exactly what he said. And the moment when he said what he said, I thought, this sounds really, really serious. And so the number one concern for everyone, I know, fans, organization, teammates, is for the well-being of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Let's hope that he's going to be fine going forward and that he's going to be healthy and be able to just live the kind of life that he wants to live. And then after that, if he gets to play more football, then I think that'll be a bonus.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I will tell you, we're a little surprised to hear.
Yeah, I did a double take, Mary Kay, because obviously we hadn't really heard much about his status at all. Obviously, guys wishing him well and everything, but to hear that, I mean, it definitely sounds, and maybe they're just being precautious, whatever. But that sounds like they're still kind of nervous about what's happening here with him and his, not forget his football status, but beyond that.
Well, that's what it sounded like. And it was coming from a player who suffered a limb and life-threatening injury last year in Jordan Hicks. He had the compartment syndrome and he almost and could have lost his leg. It got very, very scary for him last year, and he's grateful to be able to come back from that. So he knows what it's like to have this kind of an injury where you just don't know what the future holds. Now, this is not to say that JOK's career is over. No one knows that yet. He could be back. I mean, Jordan Hicks' career could have been over, and he came back after four games. So you just don't really know where this thing is going to go. But anytime you're dealing with a neck injury like that, it is very serious, and the primary concern is him just healing that whole area and getting well.
All right, Mary Kay, obviously the numbers for Nick Chubb have not resembled anything Nick Chubb has done his entire NFL career. Is there reason to believe that he could snap out of this and turn into vintage Nick Chubb?
Well, the thing to remember about this kind of a knee injury and knee surgery is the fact that these guys quite often are not back to themselves in the year after they get back from the surgery. Sometimes it takes another year after that before you really start to resemble your former self, and that will probably be the case with Nick. Just the fact that he's even out there at all, I find it to be absolutely remarkable and unbelievable accomplishment. We know what went into it. We don't even know the half of what went into it. We know what they've told us and what we've heard, but you don't really understand how grueling these rehabs are unless you can actually see it, which I think we will be seeing a lot of his when a documentary is going to be coming out at some point. But I do think that you will see Nick Chubb running in a more robust fashion next season than you might see for the rest of this season. And then, of course, the Browns and Nick just have to decide if that's going to be here or not.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Will we see DTR? Is Kevin Stefanski open to seeing DTR, or is that only if Jameis gets hurt?
Well, I don't think it's just if Jameis gets hurt. I think performance will factor into it, too. And if Jameis can cut down on the interceptions and play good, clean football, then it's his job to keep for as long as he goes out there and does that. In the event that he's throwing multiple picks, the same thing will happen probably to him that happened to Joe Flacco in Indianapolis. No way is Kevin going to continue to sit there and watch pick after pick. So I think at that point, you probably would see some of DTR, some of Bailey Zappe. And then when you get to those late games and you know that, you know, maybe it might be time just to take a look at someone else, maybe one of those guys, Dorian or Bailey, will get in there.
Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate your time and your candor. All the best.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. You and I said that the Cavs, who are right now 13-0, they could be 14-0 by the end of tomorrow night. They play the Chicago Bulls at home. They play Charlotte on Sunday the 17th, so they could be 15-0. They could be 15-0 as they head to Boston in the TD Garden on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And we said, boy, that's probably your first measuring stick there. And Keith Britton, I want to know if people agree with
I want to be clear. The first one now in this next stretch, because that Golden State game was absolutely a measuring stick game. Look how good Golden State is. Steph Curry just went nuts, and they beat Oklahoma City and Dallas in back-to-back nights and said night-night to everybody. He's playing some of the best basketball of his career. That was a great... We pummeled the Golden State Warriors.
That's very true. However, there is a lot of thought to that we've given that, hey, Boston fans are saying that this is a weak schedule by the Cavs. They're not as good as advertised, whatever. I don't believe that. You can only beat the teams that put in front of you, and you've beaten a lot of those teams quite soundly. So Tuesday night might be the first measuring stick. Keith disagreed with us. And I want to know if people agree with him, because Heath said that, hey, they're not taking you like they won the championship. The regular season doesn't matter to them. And I think I disagree. And I want you to go with me on this, whether or not you agree with me on this, but follow along here. The Celtics are 10-3. They're obviously a great basketball team. Cavaliers 13-0. Say the Cavs are 15-0 going into that game against Boston. They are competitors. They are proud professional athletes. Are the Celtics not going to play everybody against the Cleveland Cavaliers? I mean, unless they are in dire trouble of going, hey, like Jaylen Brown might be in serious trouble if you play him tonight, then, man, I think you're playing guys, and I think that this is your first test, because I think that these guys, I don't think you're going to pull out all the stops like Joe Mazzulla and Kenny Atkinson aren't going to play all their cards of what they would do in an Eastern Conference finals against each other in November, but I think that this is a big deal.
For the players, that will be the closest to a playoff game, especially the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics are coming off a championship. Normally, there is that, what do they call it in the NFL for teams after they go to the Super Bowl and that very next year? It is kind of a little more of a malaise. It's hard to get everybody.
It's the Super Bowl hangover.
The hangover, right? Well, the Celtics have been really good this year. No Porzingis, and he's not going to be there for a while. But the Celtics are clobbering teams. They're making 18 threes a game, by far the most in NBA history.
Yeah.
We're shooting a higher percentage, actually, but they're making the most. They're shooting so many threes. 50. They're shooting 50 a night, Kenny. Woo. And on some nights, they've shot 60.
Woo.
So they play a different way than everybody else, and they don't really have a way in a normal... Look, the Philly's not Philly. That would be a team that they would get up for. The Knicks are not really the Knicks yet. We'll see if they will be, because they've swapped out pieces and parts, two of their starters. So what's the closest the Celtics can come in the Eastern Conference regular season to an actual playoff game? It's going to be that game against the Cavs. And whether the Cavs are undefeated or have one loss, I mean, obviously if they're undefeated, the Celtics will gladly want to try to end that streak.
Yes. Because
they'll want to have some
mind. Because it sends a message.
It sends a message. They'll say it's a continuation of last year's series victory.
Yes, that's why Tuesday is a very big day for this ball club. Even if they were to lose one of the next two games and go into like 14-1 or even 13-2. I think Tuesday is a very big day for this basketball team, because you go out there to Boston, you beat them. Now, I've tried to make a big deal about this. I want to see their post-game language. Like if it's like Giannis a couple of years ago, where he's eating his dinner in the post-game press conference. All right, That's going to bother me. But if there's some genuine, like, hey, we didn't do this tonight, we didn't do that tonight, Mazzulla will probably be his normal, very deadpan self with the media, which is quite funny. That's not a shot at him. Then I think that, man, we're showing him this is not last year. This is a more emboldened group. They're better. They're more spacing. There's a little bit more X's and O's that are better than what it was last year. And if they win this game on Tuesday, I think they send a message and we talk on Wednesday going, hey, should we pump the brakes a little bit? Dude, like if they go out there and they were to just like, if they lose by like 20, it's like, ooh, should we do that? Or is it just November?
Yeah.
Is it just November? I think either team could send a message next Tuesday about winning and what they can do in the future here. I think this is a measuring stick game. I think Keith is wrong. Anybody who agrees with him are dead wrong.
So what you said there, I'll take it a little different way because I remember teams when Kobe and Shaq together, teams would beat them and act like they won the championship in November and December. And then by the end of the year, the Lakers would be really, really good. And it was them in San Antonio every year. But as far as like creating, we're trying to create with like an in-season tournament. We're trying to create games that matter early. This is the closest we can come to it.
Yeah, this is natural.
And yes, we will have takeaways from that game that will last until the playoffs because that's all we have. Will it really matter? Will it really matter if we win by 20 or lose by 20? Probably not, because once you get into the playoffs, you know, I've noticed, like, people have asked me, what's the difference between this? Why can't the Cavs play like this in the playoffs? I'm like, well, they can. I said, but one thing that does change is teams, they definitely attack your weaknesses more in the playoffs. Like, teams aren't doing everything they can to get matched up against Darius Garland in the regular season the way they would in the playoffs. But that game, I think it will look a little bit like a playoff game. I think they will try to take advantage of mismatches.
Really?
And by the way, when they have Horford in and Evan Mobley attacks him the way he did in those last few games in the playoffs last year, that's an advantage we'll take advantage of.
They might hold back in the same. They would hold back a little bit, but like, hey, if you can just man up and beat them.
Once you get in the fourth quarter and it's go time.
That's true. 216-474-0092. Is Tuesday a measuring stick game for the Cleveland Cavaliers? I believe it is. Lima believes it is. We have a boss who's saying, you guys are just trying to make a big deal over the regular season. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, well, if we need to be talked down, fine, let us know.
Well, I guess I'd ask, why watch any regular season game?
I don't know.
Why have any takeaways?
You want to see if the streak goes that
so
long?
So then by that standard, then nothing the Cavs have done matters.
I don't know how you can play a regular season and learn nothing about a basketball team, or any team for that matter, in any sport. Yeah, that's what the regular season is for a lot of teams. And yes, it'll still be November, but you can send a message to the Boston Celtics starting Tuesday about what this could be for this coming postseason.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.